Yo, it's the Southside's own Jonathan Hood. Weeknights on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
So Jake Bentley chased and dropped at the 15-yard line. Roquan the Chef Smith.
Roquan Smith, he's the highlight show of this defense.
In the ring, Steamboat's got him up. A slam. McClaire hits by Kane. One, two. He did it. He did it. Steamboat by Kane. McClaire has done it. McClaire has done it.
And there it goes. Abreu massacres this ball to left center field.
The Hood with Jonathan Hood. Weeknights on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood, weeknights at 7. Hit me up on Twitter, twitter.com, tweetjhood. Also on Snapchat, snapjhood. If you follow me on Snapchat, I will follow you back guaranteed. I'm looking at some of the responses from our last interview with Janola Hampton. You guys love that, don't you? Yeah, you guys love that. She gets raunchy. But that's really her... That's her character, V, on Shameless. It's great to have her on because I'm a big fan of that show. If you haven't seen Shameless, get on Netflix. Watch it. It is, to me, it is the best show based out of Chicago that I've ever seen. And that says a lot for Chicago PD.
Chicago PD, let's get over there to 26th in California. There's something going on.
Get out of here, man. All the crime in the cities of Bridgeport. Did you notice that if you ever, for those of you, and I watch
that was
it,
a great boy.
Right.
That was a great boy.
But Davis, you notice everything on Chicago PD, everything is around Bridgeport, around UIC, all of it?
Yeah. And they run the same
neighborhood.
Same
neighborhood.
Same street. Yes.
It's like, ain't nothing going on south or west. No?
They always use the tunnel over there by Soldier Field.
Exactly right.
There's a murder going on around Chinatown. We got to get there.
What are you talking about? That's all the crime? All the crime in the city is right in that one area. Same backyards. I'm sure the people in the back of the yards and in Bridgeport are tired of Chicago PD filming in that same area.
Yeah, they can shoot off the 7-triple tray. I think the people would let them.
Everything.
I hear it's around Comiskey Park. We got to get over there. Chicago PD. Let's get going, guys. I'm a dirty cop.
What? What? Anyway, and I like that show. I'm just saying like that, but but I think that Shameless is the best show out of Chicago because that thing is real and raunchy, and I enjoy that. So, and by the way, it's already up on iTunes. The interview that we just did with Janola Hampton is already up on iTunes. Just look for Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood podcast, and it's already there. It's the first thing you'll see. It's right there. So for those of you who missed it, or for those of you that enjoyed the interview, and you should pass it along. Let people hear something they haven't heard all day, all month. Janola Hampton, and as good as this interview was, V from Shameless and Showtime. Okay, so it's Thursday. You know that. I know that. It's not just a Thursday, though, on UTH. No, no, it's just not a Thursday. No, it's not a primetime Thursday. Now, on this program, it's a throwback Thursday.
Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood.
Before Snapchat.
What is that?
Before Twitter.
So what's the sitch?
There was. That's so throwback.
Those were the good times.
What's the sitch?
That's so throwback.
ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Throwback Thursday memories.
I see a little.
like to welcome back.
Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood.
Put your hands up.
The Throwback.
All you need is love.
The Throwback. Taking it back.
Go back.
The Throwback.
The Throwback. Throwback.
Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood.
Let's go back.
Oh, yes. It's Throwback Thursday here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Anytime you hear the overproduced open from that you probably hear on Kiss FM, that means that you know that it is Throwback Thursday. All right, Felix, open the phone lines. 312-332-ESPN. 332-3776 is our telephone number. We want to hook you up with four packs of tickets for the Fantasy Football Convention taking place on Saturday, August 25th at Joe's Live in Rosemont. Yurko, Waddle, Mongo, Sylvie, Carmen, Field Yates, Sapanya Bell, all part of the mix, and also audio man Jeff Miller, our fantasy football expert. August 25th, Joe's Live in Rosemont. If you want to go, here's how you can go. You'll be part of our Throwback Thursday question. And we have one every single Thursday here on ESPN 1000.
Let's go back. The Throwback.
Our Throwback Thursday question of the day. And again, for the best stories, you will go to the Fantasy Football Convention this half hour, the next 15 minutes. But you got to call quickly. Don't wait until, he'll be doing this at 9:30. I will not be doing this at 9:30. At 9:30, we actually have a great guest, Ricky Cobb from Super 70 Sports. It's all part of this Throwback Thursday. So we're going to do this a little bit longer than normal, but we're going to take calls here this segment, this half hour. You want to go to the Fantasy Football Convention? You want to win these tickets for someone else? For Joe's Live in Rosemont, Saturday, August 25th, brought to you by Miller Lite. Here's what I need you to do. The question, and for those of you on Facebook, you already know, but for everyone else, what is the best music concert and the worst music concert that you've ever attended? And what happened at that concert? There's so many, Felix, so many people that have weighed in with this thought of my best and my worst. Some good stuff here, too. I will tell you mine. I'll start mine first, and then we will move forward. My best concert was seeing Prince live. Seeing Prince at the Rosemont Horizon. 86? 86, 87, seeing Prince live. To see him live once was an experience in itself. 3 hours. Did not take an intermission. The worst concert was actually something recently. Took Peacock to the Valentine's Day Jam at the... in Indiana. And the headliner was Bobby Brown. And if you want to experience my night, just go through my Instagram. You can see the videos and pictures of that on my Instagram, IGJ Hood. Just scroll through it. You'll find it. The Valentine's Day Jam. Honey, I'm going to take you to see Bobby Brown for Valentine's Day. And she's a big, huge new edition fan, right? So she's all about Bobby Brown. Bobby Brown got out there and was awful. It was a V103 event. People booed and walked out in the middle of it. Because Bobby Brown, he did one song in a full sweat, and he was like, "Let's hear it for fat ass Bobby Brown." Said that on the mic. And then he said, "Okay, I can't do this like I used to, so I got this act." He brought out these two rappers. I was like, I'll be right back. Here are my two new proteges. It was like this rap act that came out in the middle of his set because he was tired. He came back after those two rappers were done and was like, to ask the band, what should we do next? Bob Brown, everybody. And that's recently, like 2 years ago at a Valentine's Day. Funny is funny. I didn't see Joe Soto after that. He was there with his fancy suit, but he was not around after that. I think he got hit the car quickly. Where was a Joe Soto after that happened? So... 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our phone number. The best concert and the worst concert yet you've ever been to. Okay, we got some selections here. We'll take your phone calls. Also, if you want to go to the Fantasy Football Convention, call now. We'll hook you up with tickets to our great event. Okay, let me see. All right, so many on here. Jim Steinkraus says, best was Tom Petty at Wrigley Field. Kiss was the worst because it was Kiss. Jim Steinkraus, not a fan, clearly, of Kiss.
I like how he put that.
Man. Okay, how about this one? Matt says his best was Metallica at the Aragon Ballroom in 1998. He says his worst was Quiet Riot at Juju's in Bloomington in 2002. Okay. Some good stuff here. Steve says that his favorite was at the Allstate Arena where he saw ELO. Steve says he saw ELO at Allstate Arena. He said last night, he said, I've never heard such perfect musicians. The worst was Amy Grant at the World Music Theater. Wait, is that baby, like always and forever, Amy Grant? Is that?
I think so. Oh,
here for you, baby. So glad you're mine, Amy Grant. Does that make sense? Is that the? Do I have that right? Do I have the right license plate on that?
Okay. Yes, I believe you do. I'm just dying.
And he says the baby song actually makes me physically ill to this day. Even Jesus couldn't save me that night. What else do we have here? Again, your best and worst. So apparently this audience, my audience, don't go to concerts. Is that what I'm getting here? Is that the phone line? So you guys don't go to concerts. I go to Cub games and Sox games. You guys don't go to concerts? 312-332-ESPN is our phone number. All right, best and worst concerts. What else do we have? Oh, okay. So David Schneider says in the summer of 2007 at Northerly Island, he went to go see Fall Out Boy and didn't like it. He said he went to Fall Out Boy, 90-minute set and no encore for the hometown crowd. The worst. I stopped listening to them and never supported them again after that. The best concert, the Allman Brothers, also that same year at the Rosemont Theater. The set was long and Greg was still playing then. Great vibes and great crowd. David Schneider, not a fan of Fall Out Boy. Okay, let's see what else we got here. Jay Schultz says, U2, Joshua Tree concert at the Assembly Hall in Champaign. I guess that's his best. What else do we have here? As we do this here with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000, the ESPN app. So many of you. Jay says that the best was a Tribe Called Quest at the House of Blues. His worst was Dan Aykroyd and Jim Belushi trying to recapture the blues brothers' magic at Ravinia. Well, let me see. Dan Aykroyd and Jim Belushi. Jim Belushi, not John, right? So Jim Belushi was actually doing that act like his brother at Ravinia?
Interesting.
Awful. When you say interesting, interesting meaning awful.
Bad.
My goodness.
Yeah, he's not John.
No, he is not.
Comically, no, can't pull it off.
As we do Throwback Thursday here on ESPN 1000, the ESPN app, many of you, Christy Tony says, definitely Prince, absolutely.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered to hear today to get through this thing called life. Electric word, life, it means forever, and that's a mighty long time. But I'm here to tell you, there's something else. The afterworld. A world of never-ending happiness.
Oh, I hate to cut off Prince. No, I hate to do that to Prince, because that is my man. Remember, I saw him at Paisley Park. I saw his ashes at Paisley Park. What a strange trip that was.
That was recently, too, right?
Yeah.
Just a few weeks ago?
During All-Star Week. Peacock and I walk in at the first part of the tour. The guy's talking for 10 minutes. We walk into the first atrium, and the guy's in this big round room. And there's it's us and like 10 or 12 other people. And the guy says, thank you so much for coming to Paisley Park. Just above your head right here are the ashes of Prince. We'll give you a moment to say your respects. Like 10 minutes in, a gut punch. 10 minutes in, like, here's his ashes. And it was like in this little compartment with a light over it.
Wow.
Like toward the top. And I'm just like, oh, my God. So let's go to the phone lines and talk to you. 312-332-ESPN is our phone number. Three women cried, by the way, because it came out of nowhere.
Like, yeah,
just so you know, we this is his ashes, and we'll give you a moment to give your respects.
Everybody's quiet, and then the cries.
And then cries. Three women cried. Kyle and Bourbon A on ESPN 1000 for Throwback Thursday. Hello, Kyle.
What's going on? How are things?
Good. Go ahead.
So, I've lived all around this country. I have a musical theater degree. I love Chicago sports. I've seen anything from Rammstein and Marilyn Manson to Snoop Dogg, and I've seen concerts all over the place. But hands down, the best concert I've ever been to was here at the Allstate Center a couple of years ago. It was Garth Brooks. He played not only one, he played two shows in the same night. The crowd was energized from the time he got on stage, and he's in his 50s now, and he has more energy than my 3-year-old daughter. But I kid you not, every single song he played sounded just like he did on his albums. It was 1:45 in the morning when they turned on all the lights at the Allstate Center and told everyone to go home. He wasn't coming out. And it wasn't like people were just, you know, saying, oh, come out, girl. It sounded like an airplane for 30 minutes, and they literally had to turn the lights on and tell us to go. I didn't get back to Bourbon A till like 3:30 in the morning, but it was absolutely worth it. However, on the flip side, the worst concert I went to, I was in high school, and there was this girl that I was really interested in, and she was like, you want to go to this Christian rock concert band called Five Iron Frenzy? And I was like, yeah. I'll go with you. Yeah, that's cool, honey. Yeah, we'll do this. Hoping, you know, to, you know, secure more dates.
Yes.
Well, she asked me to go get, like, I don't know, a Pepsi or something. And I was walking outside the quote-unquote Christian mosh pit to the concession area. I got punched square in the face, and I had to go to the medical tent at the Christian rock concert and go home because I broke my nose.
Oh.
Needless to say, she never called me back.
Oh, my God. That is just the worst. If you will go to the Fantasy Football Convention, give him tickets just for the broken nose. Hook that man up. And that, ladies and gentlemen,
the throwback.
Part of Throwback Thursday here on ESPN 1000, the ESPN app. Michael Green, best AC/DC in 1981, worst My Wife Maybe See Journey in 1996. They were so boring. How about that from Michael Green? Bob Pollard says best concert Weird Al Yankovic at the Chicago Theater in 15. Really? Really? Costume changes were and Stormtroopers. Worst concert, Alan Jackson and Martina McBride. Not because of the show, just because of the drunk morons in front of us that were fighting that night. That's some good stuff there. Danielle Adams. She says that several years ago, me and a friend went to go see Erykah Badu at the UIC Pavilion. And she was several hours late and sang like 2.5 songs. That was the worst. The best is Janet Jackson. Best concert I've ever seen. Okay, so there you go. Erykah Badu, 2.5 hours late. Wow.
The throwback.
Jonathan Webb says that the best concert is a toss-up between they might be the Giants at the 1313 Club in Charlotte, North Carolina, and the Beastie Boys and the Lynch Mob in Roseland in New York City. The worst concert ever was being dragged to a George Winston show in Manhattan. George Winston. Okay.
The throwback.
Let me see. Joe McCardle says, Joe McCardle?
Joe?
Never mind. Joe McCardle from our production staff says, best is too difficult to choose. Worst is easy. Radiohead at Alpine. When a guy literally peed on my buddy's jacket. Oh,
that's horrible.
Should have had Joe on to talk about it. Oh, my God.
That's a fight.
Yeah, I would say so. Yeah. John Nash says, honorable mention for best concert, the Funk Fest at Soldier Field in August of 78, and Prince Purple Rain concert tour at the Rosemont Horizon the day after Thanksgiving 84. Maybe that's what I'm thinking of.
Is that the one you went to?
I think so. I think that's what I'm thinking of. I said 85, 86, but I think 84. I only went to one, so it had to be 84.
The throwback.
Alan Benson says the Grateful Dead and the Grateful Dead. The best and the worst. Let's see. What else? A lot of Prince love. Ken Davis says Prince is the best. Ghostface concert may have been the worst. Ghost was great, but Capadonna was on some BS. man. Oh, best is James Taylor last year. Old Man sounds great. He said the worst is America 1975 at Washington Park. Could you guys look up America in 1975? Can you guys give me one of their hits?
Washington Park, Chicago?
Yes, America in 1975. He says that they played at Washington Park. 312-332-ESPN is our phone number. Mike in Geneva on ESPN 1000. Hi, Mike.
Jonathan, thank you.
Yes, sir.
Best show I've ever seen. House of Blues, I want to say 2006, maybe? Jay-Z. Comeback tour, American Gangster, brings the whole Rockefeller crew. I'm talking Beanie Siegel, Freeway, even brings out hometown hero, Kanye West. Best show I've ever seen.
Wow.
Worst show I've ever seen, also House of Blues. Maybe just not my cup of tea. Somebody dragged me along. Counting Crows, I'm sorry. Adam Duritz, I'm sorry. Awful.
Okay. Got you, Mike. If you want to go to the Fantasy Football Convention, you're more than welcome.
I concur with how great that concert, the House of Blues, was. American Gangster, the movie, had just come out. He did the soundtrack. The album was out maybe half a day, and the entire crowd knew the entire album word for word. It was a crazy atmosphere.
Joanne Schmidt says, best for visual circus was Ziggy Marley and the B-52s. Just think of the crowd, Beehives and Dreadlocks. I love both bands. Ben says, I saw Ziggy at the Cubby Bear a few years ago. Phenomenal start to finish. Some good stuff here. I didn't expect when I opened this up on Facebook that we get so much Ziggy Marley love, but we got like four or five people jumping in on this. Let me see what else we have here. Here as we do Throwback Thursday here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app with Jonathan Hood. What else? Yeah, there's so many people that have gone to a Prince concert that have enjoyed themselves. I see this four, five, six times here on this list.
We haven't got a concert from the Old Click yet.
Which is that?
There were many concerts at the Old Click. GCI used to throw a lot of concerts, many concerts.
Well, I mean... You know, some acts would just come through the back door.
Yeah, absolutely.
And some would come through the front door. But mostly through the back door. That's what I can remember there. Trying to leave quickly. A lot of Prince, though. A lot of it. I'm a big fan. just reading through some of this stuff. You know, you know what? What's not on here is actually my favorite Prince song is Alphabet Street.
Really?
How about that? How about that? I mean, everybody, listen.
That's your favorite?
Prince song, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and think about this. It's not a stadium anthem, so that's probably why I gravitated to that. Probably, I mean, think about Little Red Corvette, Let's Go Crazy, I mean, these are the things that, you know, I want to be your lover is a good, but
most people would throw a door in theirs for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like it. You know what? Because it's not a stadium anthem. All these other ones are, you can hear all the time.
Right.
They run to death.
Right.
So this is good though. NASCAR should be running this song. It's about cars, isn't it?
I guess I should know by the way you popped your car sideways that it wouldn't last. See, you're the kind of person who believes in making out once, love them and leave them fast.
I hate to cut off my man. It's so good. I can play the whole 427. Marty in Oak Lawn on ESPN 1000 with Jonathan Hood as we do Throwback Thursday. Hello, Marty.
How you doing? Thanks for taking the call.
Yes, sir.
Best concert. I saw Snoop Dogg, Korn, and Linkin Park at Tilly Park, mm-hmm. and it was awesome. Snoop Dogg passed around some fun, and the same day, Maddox won 300.
What's the worst?
It was definitely Chevy Chesney at Soldier Field. That was awful.
Well, wait, what was the undercard? Was he the... I know he's the main event. Who else was on that bill?
Shoot. I think there was Lady Antebellum, Montgomery Gentry. I can't remember anybody else.
But Kenny Chesney was that bad in concert, huh?
Yeah, dude, you know, everyone else beforehand, they were fine. And Kenny Chesney, yeah, I think he's over it.
All right.
Let's go back.
That, my friends, Throwback Thursday here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. All right, we will do Super 70 Sports. Have you followed that on Twitter? Hold on a second. I'm getting a late nomination here. Hold on a second. Hold on before I move on. A late nomination. Who is this? Greg. Best concert was this summer in Chicago. Imagine Dragons. Worst concert at NIU in 1983. The Psychedelic Furs. They were awful. That's a late entry just coming in. Give me your best concert, Dave, before we break here.
Best concert definitely was Tribe Called Quest 2K7 tour at the Congress. My worst, Madison Square Garden. The Best of Both Worlds tour with Jay-Z and R. Kelly. It was the night that R. Kelly walked off the stage because he said somebody flashed a gun at him. I was embarrassed as a Chicagoan.
My mind is telling me no.
Yes.
Jeez, of course they did. Yes, R. Yes, they flashed a gun at you. That's exactly what happened, R. I'm sure that's what it was. Or a woman coming after you. All right. And by the way, as we get ready for Ricky Cobb from Super 70 Sports, you got to follow him on Twitter. He's a great follow at Super 70 Sports. This from Silvio. Steve Silverman, pro football boy, who wants you to know, you get all the first class babes, talking about our interview with Shanola Hampton. You get all the first class babes. See if you can get that Russian gal on the show.
What you want?
Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. You're listening to my mans and them, Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
It's Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. So glad you're with us. Part of Throwback Thursday, we do every Thursday, of course, at 9 o'clock, will be my favorite Twitter follow. We want you to go on Twitter and follow at Super 70 Sports. Also, we want you to download the podcast, Super 70 Sports. It's not necessarily for a man of a certain age like me. It could be for you as well, because it's a learning tool, damn it. It's a learning tool. Ricky Cobb from Super 70 Sports is with us here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Ricky, Jonathan Hood, thanks so much for your time.
Jay Hood, how are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing very, very well, thank you. Chicago's own Ricky Cobb. Ricky, this is my favorite Twitter follow. I got to tell you, it's one of these things that you could always open up your computer and you can look through the news of the day, sports of the day, but I got to get a laugh before I start in on my day, and that's usually Super 70 Sports. Tell me,
Coming from a man of your taste, that's quite a compliment.
Well, when did you first start this Twitter feed and the podcast?
Well, the Twitter feed really began in earnest right around January the 1st of 2015. Just a little something that I decided I was going to do for fun. Had absolutely no expectations for it to kind of take off like it has. And it just seemed to hit a sweet spot for people. I realized fairly early on that I was kind of tapping into something that I didn't necessarily expect. And so it's been growing pretty steadily since then, and I feel super grateful for it.
Ricky, I mean, I smile because I just have it on my computer right now because I see it every day. But it just, you know, it, besides the captions being so good, the pictures are so good, too. I'll give the people an example that have not followed. You have to at Super 70s Sports. Okay, so people are always like, how come the Bears never won anything in the 70s with Walter Payton? I'll tell you how. And there's a picture of Bob Avellini. Is that right there?
Good old number seven. It may be slightly more complicated than that. But if you want the simple answer, that's the answer.
Okay, Rick, you got to tell me, where do you find these pictures? I think that's the big question. How do you find these pictures for this?
Well, that's a question that I get frequently. And, you know, I'll tell you, it's just rolling up your sleeves and going into all the corners of the internet that most people fear to tread. You know, mm-hmm. I'm out there looking and working, and I've gotten pretty good at looking for images on the internet from spending so much doggone time doing it. But you know, I got to tell you, it's a labor of love. When I go out there and I find, you know, just that right image for the joke, you know, almost writes itself, or I see it and maybe the joke doesn't come to me immediately, but I know that there's a joke there. You know, it's pretty satisfying, and it makes it a lot of fun to go out and try to find the best images I can.
Download the Super 70 Sports podcast, Ricky Cobb from Super 70 Sports with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. You also could find yourself a shirtless Ed Asner if you choose to on Super 70 Sports.
Drive people away that information, but yeah, be careful. You're going to see a little bit of everything here. You know, there are things that are more aesthetically pleasing than a shirtless Ed Asner, but you know. We've got to get real, and you know, that's part of it sometimes.
It's just the best. I love it. So tell me, what do you think millennials are missing by not living in the 70s, in the era in which I grew up in? I'm going to be 46 this year, so this is right up my alley, and I enjoy this so much. What are millennials missing by not living in this era?
Man, we had to work for it. You know, you just wanted to know what the score of the, you know, West Coast baseball game was on Friday night. I grew up in Kentucky. I was waiting for the Sunday morning paper just to find that out. You know, statistics were not everywhere and readily available. You know, you wanted to see what somebody's batting average was, and you know, back in our day, about all you were going to find out was maybe their batting average, their homers, and their RBIs, you know. So we were working for it in those days. You weren't watching your favorite players on satellite or on your cable package every night of the week if you wanted to. It was an event if you saw your favorite player. The All-Star Games were a really big deal because that might literally be one of only, you know, one or two or three times that you might see some of these guys over the course of a year. So I think that you know, these kids today with all their technology and their gadgets and, you know, as cliche as all that stuff is, I think that there's definitely some truth in it. It's a little bit easy now. And don't get me wrong, it's great. But back in our day, you know, we had to work for our entertainment. You know, we were inventing games and playing ball outside and with mm-hmm. Nerf balls inside. We had to get creative for our fun.
I also say this, that, and this is a deeper conversation about television and the radio business as well, Ricky, but, you know, this on-demand society that we live in right now, I'm sure that there is executives in both television and radio that wish it was back in this particular time, because live meant that you had to listen to it, and if you didn't listen to it, you weren't going to catch it unless you recorded it on your radio or your Betamax or your VCR back in the day. You had to watch something live. That comes to mind because I see that it's a special day and time for Quincy, for Jack Klugman and his program. That's also Super 70 Sports, but that's a difference, is it not, of on-demand versus having to watch everything and listen to everything live?
Absolutely. I think that that's a tremendous difference. I mean, there used to be things. It's hard for people that are younger than a certain age. I'm not exactly sure where the cutoff is age wise, but if you were going to watch your favorite show, and we're back in the late 70s, early 80s, if you missed it, well, you know, tough luck, kid. You know, you'll have to walk that one off. Maybe you'll catch it in summer reruns, and maybe you won't. But that's kind of that. Whereas, you know, today we can basically just, you know, plan things around our schedule. But back in those days, we were working on the schedule of the networks, and that's just how it was.
Yeah, I mean, there's no way that I was going to miss Alice when it came on. I mean, if I missed it for a week, I feel like I missed the entire season if Alice was coming on with Vic Tayback and company.
Yeah, there was no such thing as binge watching, you know? I mean, the closest we got to binge watch was, you know, maybe the familiar afternoon reruns that we would get on WGN or you know, Superstation out of Atlanta. That was really it. You know, you get the Andy Griffith Show or the Brady Bunch or Sanford and Son or, you know, whatever it was that they were feeding you every night on a weekly basis. But that was a whole different animal than being able to, you know, flip on your streaming device and, you know, go through thousands of different programs and find what suits your desires.
Well, Ricky, when you look at, and again, going through all these pictures of especially the baseball players, looking in the past and then looking now in 2018, you realize that, you know, somewhat of the fro, but definitely the beards and mustaches have returned here in 2018, where everybody wants to be a mountain man. And but I will ask you this: what is more impressive to you based on all the pictures you've seen? Is it the afro or the perm as far as hairstyles in the 70s?
Well, you know, the afro, generally speaking, almost always cool. You know, there aren't a lot of bad afros now, you know, and I won't name any names. Maybe you could think of a couple of bad afros, but the perm, I feel like you got a greater variation there. Some guys had good perms, and then some guys had perms that were, you know, just definitely fallen into the category of regrettable. So I feel like there were more perm disasters than afro disasters. So I'm gonna have to give the nod to the afro there.
The reason why I ask is because you have a picture up here of Rick Sutcliffe with the Dodgers. As a matter of fact, they showed this picture. I think they showed this picture on Wednesday Night Baseball just recently because they were talking about Sut and his different hairstyles, kind of like Ditka in that regard. But Sutcliffe with the Dodgers has a glorious perm. You may prefer Cy Young Award winner Rick Sutcliffe, but give me the three-piece suit, giant collar, awesome perm. Looks like a magician who works children's birthday parties, Sutcliffe.
Well, you know, you don't generally look back on the afro and think, oh, that was a mistake. You know, I saw Artis Gilmore not long ago in Indianapolis at the ABA 50th reunion event they had down there, and had a chance to chat with him. And, you know, Artis is a little thin on top these days, but you look back at Artis in the 70s with the afro, and it still looks good. It's like, yeah, man, that's cool. But you look back on that Sutcliffe perm, and, you know, hasn't aged as well.
Okay, what about mustaches, though? Because I think you don't have the description here, but that looks like Phil Garner, the old third baseman for the Pirates. That's what it looks like here with that classic We Are Family hat. So tell me about mustaches during that era. What stood out most about that?
Well, you know, the mustache, it's interesting that the mustache was in such favor for so long. And there are so many guys. I mean, you go through any major league team in the 1970s, and it's like half the roster has a mustache. And a lot of these guys had really thick, impressive mustaches, you know? I mean, you got Bill Buckner being a great example of a Chicago guy that was just, you know, rocking them. And, you know, but Buckner also had the eyebrows, too. You know, a Buckner eyebrow was like at least an average mustache for a normal human being. So he was pretty epic. Sideburns is another factor. You know, you can't overlook the importance of some really sweet mutton chops. And, boy, you go back into the 70s, and there were some guys that were rocking some tremendous sideburns. And, you know, you're talking about the facial hair today, this sort of mountain man bearded look. I'm not buying it. I think that it's ironic. I think there's a little bit of a hipster thing happening. Mm-hmm. And the thing that I like the best about the 70s is, you know, none of these guys were trying to be kitsch. None of these guys were trying to be ironically funny. This is just really the way that they decided they looked their best at that time. And something about that simple sincerity makes it so much better for me.
Ricky Cobb from Super 70 Sports with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Also, I want to ask you about the vehicles, too. I you know, again, a kid of the 70s, my grandparents loved the Chevy Caprice Classic. He just kept buying them. Every couple of years, seems like it was just, we were in this cop car when I was growing up all the time. This big ass, you know, trunk where you could hide a couple of bodies if you needed to. I mean, just the seemed like the biggest thing on the road. Mm-hmm. In the 70s, and I see the picture here. If you want the finest chicks of the 70s, it helped to drive a land yacht and have a strong turtleneck game. So there's a guy here with a dark suit, and he's got a white turtleneck, which is classic 70s, and a woman that looks, I don't know, frightened. She looks like she's in a tennis outfit. But the point is, that looks like a Ford Granada, if I'm not mistaken. What do you think is the ultimate car of the 70s, the car that you wish you had now from the 70s?
Oh, wow. You know, I would have to say, you know, maybe a Cadillac Fleetwood, something like that. Anything that looks like, you know, Joe Pesci and De Niro would have put somebody in the trunk, you know. I mean, the bigger, the better, the more that it gives off, you know, the vibe that the guy that's driving it is probably named Tony.
Right.
That would be the kind of car that I would be looking for. Yeah, just a huge, massive, you know, road machine that you don't have to worry about hitting anything because it's just going to deflect right off of you. You know, it was just a different era in automotives and, you know, vastly superior, obviously, in my view.
Ricky, is there someone that has surprised you that has caught on to the podcast or either your Twitter that is following you that you said, wow, I can't believe this person knows about what I'm doing here?
Oh, man, all the time, to be honest with you. That was one of the things in the beginning that just absolutely blew my mind. Once people started following me that I'd heard of, it was kind of like, whoa. But, I've met some really interesting people. I've had Rob Lowe on the podcast, so for anybody that wants to go to the Super70sSports.com website or go on iTunes for that matter, Rob Lowe, you know, I talked to that guy, find out he's just a rabid sports fan who grew up with a lot of the same you know, opinions and daily routines as any other kid. And I've had Dale Earnhardt Jr. On the podcast. He's been very supportive, you know, for a number of years now. And so it's really one of those things where the list just kind of goes on and on. And, you know, the kid in me, and, you know, there's definitely still a lot of kid in me because I think it kind of takes that to do what I do with a lot of this silly stuff. It's still just kind of over the moon that, you know, that I've made so many friends and so many acquaintances through this that I just never would have imagined.
So Ricky, tell me this, and I appreciate your time. I want to find out from you if there is an official logo that represents the 70s, is it the Astros, you know, rainbow uniform? Is it the Mariners upside down pitchfork? Is it Earl Weaver? Is it the Bucks logo? What do you think is emblematic of the era of 1970s?
Well, I will say that for baseball, the uniform that is emblematic is the Houston Astros rainbow jerseys. Mm-hmm. No question for me. That's also my favorite logo. The baseballs orbiting the dome. And kind of speaking to your last question, I actually met the guy who designed that original Houston Astros logo through his son-in-law, who was following my account, wound up striking up a friendship with him, and actually stayed, my wife and I actually stayed at his house for a few days a couple of years ago. So he's actually become a good buddy of mine, something that I never would have imagined ever. But I would put the Astros logo on top. I mean, the Padres brown, some of that stuff is pretty darn classic as well from the 70s. So I'll give that one the silver. if we're talking baseball. And, you know, you get into hockey, I would have to give a shout out to the Hartford Whalers logo, which is a classic and a, you know, another, you know, dearly beloved and now defunct team. But, you know, you got to be careful with asking me that question. I'm going to cut myself off because you get me started on logos and uniforms and, you know, we might be here all night.
I know. And because of you, there's just money leaving my pocket because I just ordered a old school Buccaneers t-shirt today. Thanks to you. You must be getting kickbacks.
Okay. Well, there you go, because the Buccaneers, the Bucko Bruce, that's my number one NFL guy, okay? Number one with a bullet. Nobody tops Bucko Bruce with the knife in his mouth and the mustache, the knowing wink, you know. He's still the man, okay? And one day, maybe they'll wise up down in Tampa and restore him to the glory that he so deserves.
This is my favorite Twitter follow, ladies and gentlemen. Super 70 Sports. We actually go to the podcast as well. Super 70 Sports podcast and iTunes, Apple Music as well as going to the website is super70sports.com. Ricky, this is a pleasure, man. I'm a big fan. So is Tom Waddle, by the way, too. Anytime that you put anything James Garner, he's all over it. So so thank you so much for coming.
Good to know. Yeah.
So I appreciate you coming on, man. Thanks so much.
Hey, thank you for having me on, man. Love what you do.
Thank you.
Our thoughts from Ricky Cobb from Super 70 Sports right here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. We thank you for listening and being part of the program here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Our thanks to you for listening. Our thanks to Shanola Hampton, Israel Adonijé, and Ricky Cobb, show produced by Felix and Sean on the other side of the glass. I'm away from this show for a while. Saturday, I'll be on with Dickerson and Hood between 7 and 11 p.m. Saturday nights right here on ESPN 1000. And then next week, with Carmen DeFalco, with Carmen and Yurko. I'll be doing that show all week from 12 to 2 next week right here on ESPN 1000. So look for me there. For Felix and Sean, I'm Jonathan. Thanks for listening. Download the podcast, Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood. Do it now.
Yo, it's the Southside's own Jonathan Hood. Weeknights on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN.